here this morning. And you may be seated. Oh, we certainly are glad to have you guys out here hearing life. It's such a joy and a privilege to open up the Word of God to you. And not only for those who are hearing life today, but for all those who shared life on Friday night and Saturday night. We had a wonderful time at the Married Life Fellowship Friday night. Such a wonderful time of fellowship, good chili, had a lot of different contestants enter in, came down real close. In fact, one vote decided it all, but we had a blast. Thank you guys who were able to come out, not only for our married fellowship on Friday, but also for our women's ministry yesterday, the Bloom Women's event. Heard you guys had a great time. And we want to encourage you, whenever you see events like that come up, if you can, partake of them. We think they will be a blessing to you. But thanks to everyone who did and all the volunteers who make those events happen. It's just a special, special thing. But not just that, all the volunteers who make this service happen. There's so much that goes on behind the scenes, from our ushers and our connectors to our cafe to the people watching the kids. So I want to encourage you, if you can, to volunteer. Volunteer. If you can serve, serve. We did a big campaign a couple of years ago called Do Something. Everybody can do something. And so we want to encourage you to not only be grateful for those volunteers who are serving us, but if you can and you're able, volunteer and sow of your time to the Lord. It'll be a blessing not only to everyone else, but it'll also be a blessing to you. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And in volunteering, it's another way you can seek first the kingdom of God. Let's open up our Bibles this morning to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible, you can lift up your hand. And our ushers, they'll be in the aisles now ready to give you a Bible. If you don't have a Bible at all, good news, now you do. Our goal here at Word of Life Church is to give you words of life, to teach you and instruct you in God's manual for life, the Bible. And so it's definitely something that we want to open, get in, and learn from. I mean, you didn't come here this morning to hear my opinion, did you? No, you want the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 6, we've been talking about, and on the screens, if you can go to Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, Luke 10, 19 on the screens, we're opening up to Ephesians 6 in our Bibles. We've been talking about the last couple of Sundays, living by faith. And the Bible instructs you, and once again, we said the Bible never gives suggestions. It gives commands, instruction. It instructs us to live by faith, that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. That's a huge statement. Think about it. Every day you live outside of faith was a day that went unpleasing to the Lord. Our scripture, our golden text, has been Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. The disciples came to Jesus and said, "Master, why weren't we able to basically deal with this problem that came up?" And Jesus said, "Guys, it's because of your unbelief." He said, if you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed and you use that faith by speaking to mountains, nothing will be impossible to you. We've been asking a question. You don't have to answer it out loud. Just maybe in your heart, think about this. The question we've been asking is, how much faith have you really been using? This past week, how much faith did you use? We're called to live by faith. How much faith did you live by this week? How much prayers did you pray? How many confessions did you make? Remember, we said that the Word of God, that's the source of faith, is to not only be in our heart, but also beware in our mouth. That is the message of faith that we preach, having the Word of God in our heart, but also in our mouth. How much of God's Word did you have this week in your mouth? Speaking over your family, speaking over your children, speaking over your business, speaking over your life, your destiny. How much faith did you release this week? Our goal in this series is to start our year off right, to get us living by faith. We said that we want to be in faith for our desires. We started talking about last week how to be in faith for needs. We're going to continue with that today, but we also want to look at how to have faith for the kingdom of God. We'll get to those in other sessions. Let's look here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Such a wonderful passage of scripture here. I'm sure you could all quote it. I know most of you have read it. But let's look here together and just kind of meditate on it. He says, finally, my brother. Now notice what Paul does. He says, finally, and goes on talking for several more verses. So it's not just my thing. It's every preacher's thing. Even the apostle Paul. Finally, my brethren, keeps talking. But anyway, finally, in closing, my brethren, be, watch this, strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Whose might? His might. Who's he? God, the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong where? In the Lord. Where is your strength coming from? Strong in the Lord and in the power of whose might? Of his might. Let's think about this. I can't speak for everyone. I can only speak for myself. I've made a decision many years ago as a child to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've made that decision. From that decision, I've seen him do amazing things in my life. Not only do I have eternal security, I know I'm going to heaven, but I've seen him also work in this life. Christ has not only saved me from hell, but he's saved me from a whole bunch of other stuff that I've faced in this life. And here, Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We know that our Bible was not just Paul writing letters to churches, but it was God speaking through the hand of Paul to his churches. This is God speaking to us. And he's saying that, Joel, if you are a believer, you can be strong in the Lord. And you are to be strong in the power of his might. I've done some things in this life in my own strength. In fact, 99.9%, I'm sure, of the world lives in their own strength. What they're able to figure out with their mind, what they're able to do with their hand, what they are able to do with the education that they've gained throughout the years, they live in the power of that might. But as a believer, we see here that we are not only called to live in just any old might, any old power, but we are called to be strong in the Lord, strong in the power of his might. Now let's just turn this around from us and let's put it over on the Lord. Strong in his might. Well, think about the might of God. Is there anything that can come against God that could prevail? Come on now, talk back to me. I like a good backseat driver when I'm preaching. Tell me where you want me to go. Is there anything that can prevail against the might of the Lord? No. Is there anything too big, too hard, too impossible for the Lord to overcome? No, 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 no. His might is greater than any adversary. His might is greater than any attack. His might is greater than any foe. There's nothing that could come against the Lord and prevail. Nothing. Nothing. His might is greater than any other might in this earth or any other place. He's God. He's omniscient, all powerful. There's nothing he cannot do except lie. He refuses to violate his own word. His might, I want to build this into you. Why? Like we said last week, fear is eradicated by knowledge. And when you're in faith for a need, there's one thing that's hitting you on every side. It's fear. How are we going to do it? How in the world is this going to be turned around? You got to learn how to deal with it. And the only way to deal with it is to know something that's greater than that fear. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and live in the power of his might. Think about if you really did that. You know, you hear people, other believers encourage believers in this. Do we really know what we're saying? Be strong in the Lord, brother, and in the power of His might. Well, think about if this scripture is true, and I believe all scripture is. If you are living in the power of His might, is there any attack? Now think about it. Is there any attack that could come against you that could prosper? No. This is why the Bible issues statements like, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. Not some weapons, no weapon. Why? It's not me. I'm not living in my own power. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of whose might? His might. And if there's nothing too powerful for His might, that means that anything that comes against me, if I'm in the power of His might, it is bound to fail every time. That there is no weapon that could come against me that would prosper, make any type of headway in my life. That I am not saved in this life from tribulations, from tests, and from trials. I want to emphasize that. Just because you're in faith or living by faith, it does not make you immune from having to overcome tests and trials. No, in this world, you will face tribulation. You will be attacked. You will experience tests and trials. Faith does not separate you from that. But what faith does enable is that whenever those things come your way, if you're in the power of His might, they cannot prevail against you. That when the smoke clears, have you ever seen a Western? When the smoke clears at the OK Corral, I will be the last one standing. That we will win every time if we're living by faith. Faith does not make us immune from attacks, but it means that if I'm in faith, if I'm in the power of His might, those weapons cannot prosper against me. There's nothing His might can't do. And here you see instruction from God for you to live there, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You can live that way. I can live that way. Well, how do we do it? He tells us in the next scripture, how to, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles. That word wiles means methods of attack. That you may be able to stand against the methods of attack of the enemy, of the devil. Let's read these two verses together, verse 10 and verse 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. How? Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the methods of attack, the wiles of the devil. If I'm going to walk in the power of His might, it means that I have made a decision to put on something. What am I putting on? Put on the what? Whole armor of what? Of God. That if I'm going to live in the power of His might, it means I've made a decision to put on the armor of God. I cannot pray the armor of God on you. You have to make a decision to put it on. How can you put on something if you don't know to put it on? And we've got a lot of believers trying to resist attacks that are coming against them, but they're failing with that because they're trying to resist those attacks in their own strength. They don't know that God has given them something to put on, that when they put it on, they're living in the power of Christ's might. Well, what is that we're supposed to put on? We're to put on the whole armor of God. Why do we need armor? Like we said last week, God is not getting you all dressed up and giving you no place to go. He's telling you to put on armor because He knows you will need armor. In this life, you will face attacks. And I'm sure if you've lived this life long enough, you've seen different methods that the enemy works. He'll work through people to try to attack you. He'll attack people financially. Sometimes he'll attack them physically. He'll attack them mentally. None of us, no matter who you are immune from attacks. We will be attacked in this life because we have an adversary. We have an enemy, and his job description is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he knows how to do. That's all he will do is steal, kill, and destroy. And he's got methods to do it to each one of us, and we've got to understand that he will try to attack us, but if we do what we know to do, then those attacks will fail every time. I know I've been telling the other services, it's the truth. I know a couple of months ago, well, really when we first opened the church, I remember the first Sunday we opened. I remember seeing all that we had been believing for as a church family, seeing it come to pass right before our eyes. It's a beautiful thing by faith and patience inheriting those promises. And I remember that second Sunday. It's hard to forget. It was Easter Sunday. Wonderful time. But I never will forget that third Sunday. At third Sunday, we had a great time. I began a series entitled Walking with God. We continued on from that point on Wednesday nights. And I remember after third service, this service, walking down into the altar and praying for people. And then after the last person was prayed for, walking back up those stairs and going back to my office. I remember zipping up my Bible and then walking out. And while I was walking out of my door back there, walking towards my car, something hit me. And you know, you've probably have sensed things suddenly try to come on you. Maybe it was like a stomach bug or something like that. But this was different. This was an oppression. And I'm sure that I could figure out different reasons as to why. You know, you're going to three services, you're running something big, it's bigger than it's ever been before, you're making a ton of decisions every day. And so I'm sure it was stress related. But if you read the next passages here, you see that you do not wrestle against flesh and blood, including your own. That behind every attack, there is a force behind you, behind that attack, that's trying to make headway in your life. I remember getting in my car and driving home. I was driving home feeling that oppression. I finally got to the house and sat down on the sofa, changed, you know, out of my Sunday clothes and sat down on the couch. But I didn't even feel like watching TV. I didn't even feel like turning on sports or anything like that. And typically, you know, that's what we'd like to do, or take a nap, something like that. But I didn't feel like doing anything but sit there and think about all these different things I have to do and all these different pressures. I knew I got to break out of this. So I tried to do it in my own strength. My daughter came down and I said, you know, let's go see a movie. So I took her out to go see a cartoon movie. I forget which one. It was at the theaters at the time. But we went out there and saw the movie. And the whole movie, I'm watching this and everyone around me is laughing. But I've got this oppression that I'm dealing with, all of this anxiety, and I never experienced anything like that before. It was tangible. I remember getting in the car and driving home from the movie theater, and finally I just thought, I just need to go to sleep. I'll sleep it off, wake up in the morning, be done with it. So I went to sleep, woke up in the morning, and it was still there. I didn't feel like doing anything. And finally, about 9 o'clock, it just finally something on the inside of me rose up, and I knew I had to deal with this attack. And so I did what I'm going to instruct you to do today. And as soon as I did it, it floated away like a bird. My point in telling you this is that with every attack, you've got one of two ways to deal with it. You can deal with it in your own strength, and sometimes your strength is enough. Sometimes through what you can do, it is enough. But there are other times where you could do everything in your own strength, and it'll never be enough. And with both of them, you better realize, and I better realize, there is a power that God has given us. And it's greater than all the power of the enemy. And I am called to be strong in the Lord and strong in the power of his might. How? I've got to put on the whole armor of God. When we're under attack, we need to make sure, do I have my armor on? What is the armor of God? There are many different pieces, but there's one piece that the Bible exalts above all others. It places a special emphasis on one particular piece. Basically, he's saying, don't leave home without this one. And this piece that the Bible exalts above all others is found in verse 16. He says, above all, it's giving this piece an exaltation. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Above all these other pieces, make sure you have this one. Take, once again, it's your choice. You have to put it on. You have to take it up. Take the shield of faith. Well, why do I need the shield of faith? It's the weapon or part of the armor that God has given you that is able to quench every one of the attacks of the enemy. According to our Bible, the Word of God, there is no attack the enemy can throw at you that the shield of faith cannot stop. There is no financial attack that the enemy can throw at you that the shield of faith cannot extinguish. There is no attack coming against your mind, coming against your relationships, coming against your physical body. There is no attack from the enemy that the shield of faith cannot quench. Friend, the shield of faith can stop every one of the attacks of the enemy. If I'm going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, I've got to put on the whole armor of God. But above all the pieces of the armor, I need to make sure I've got the shield of faith. Look at this scripture here in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. Jesus had just sent his disciples out. He's given them power to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to open up blind eyes. They came back to him rejoicing, saying, Lord, even the devils were trembling at your name. He tells them, boys, I beheld Satan fall like lightning, and they were rejoicing. And in the middle of all this, he stops and he says something in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. This is Jesus talking. And he says, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Now notice Christ is speaking to us. And he says, behold, I've given unto you what? Power. What's this power going to enable you to do? To trample upon or tread over, and he lists two animals, serpents and scorpions, and over what? All the what? Of who? The enemy. Now he lists two animals that have the ability in the natural to harm you, to hurt you. And then right under that, because Christ was such a master teacher, he would always bring things, give examples that would build into the consciousness of people's minds what he was talking about. He lists these two animals to relay to them this next point. And over all the power of the enemy. A serpent and a scorpion has power to harm you. Power in the natural to hurt you. And he's saying that just as those things have power to harm you, the enemy has power. He has power to steal, kill, and destroy. We've seen it happen to a lot of different people, both Christians and those who live out in the world. The enemy has power to destroy people's lives. And Jesus was not exalting the power of the enemy, but he was making his disciples and us aware that there is an adversary out there with power, and he wants to use that power to hurt you. But he didn't exalt that. He made the disciples aware of that. He exalted something else. Well, what was it that he exalted? Behold, I give unto you power. And what is that power going to enable you to do? To tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Does the enemy have power? Apparently he does. But that's not the end of the story. You've got power from who? God. Be strong in the power of his might. You've got power from the Lord that enables you to trample upon all the power of the enemy. There's no power that the enemy has that can harm you so long as you're exercising the power that God has given you. God's given you a power that's greater than all the power of the enemy. And when you use that power, something happens. What happens? Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And watch this next phrase. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Does a scorpion have power in the natural to hurt you? You don't have to answer. In the natural, does it have power to hurt you? Well, yeah, there's a reason why people go to the hospital when they get stung and bit by them. There's a power. Does the enemy have power? Yes, he does. Power to hurt you just like a serpent and scorpion. But God has given us a power. God has given us a might. God has given us a strength that when I'm strong in the Lord and the power of that might, I cannot stop those things from trying to hurt me, but I can stop them from hurting me. When I'm walking in the power of his might, nothing shall by any means hurt me. Why don't you say this with me? Say with the shield of faith. Lift it up. No attack. No attack from the enemy shall by any means hurt me. I can't be hurt. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Why? Because when you're in the power of Christ, when you're in the power of his might, when you've got that shield of faith lifted up, nothing shall by any means hurt you. That you cannot stop the attack from coming. You will be attacked. I will be attacked. But I can stop it from having any hurt, causing any harm in my life. The shield of faith will stop it dead in its tracks. Go to the book of Daniel. I'll show you an example of this. Book of Daniel. If you need to go to the concordance first, feel free to go to the concordance, then go to the book of Daniel. It's on page 858 in my Bible, if that helps you at all. Daniel chapter 3. How are we to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? We are to take unto ourselves the whole armor of God, right? And there's a part of that piece of armor that we need to make sure we have above all the other pieces, right? What is that piece? The shield of faith. What will the shield of faith do? It will quench how many? All the fiery darts of the wicked. There's no power that the enemy has that can be thrown your way that the power within the shield of faith cannot stop. This is what I want to build into your conscience. This is why you don't have to be afraid of anything. Anytime fear is coming against you, what do? You lift up the shield of faith. When you lift up the shield of faith, you're standing strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And when you're doing that, there's no power that the enemy has that can hurt you. So here's what I want to get at now. How do you take up the shield of faith? How would you even know if you've got the whole armor of God on? How do you know if the shield of faith is up? The word faith in the New Testament, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament is written in Greek. The Greek word for the word faith in the book, in all the books of the Bible here in the New Testament, for the word faith, the Greek word is the word P-I-S-T-I-S. P-I-S-T-I-S. And what it means is a belief, a persuasion, a firm belief. This word faith, take up the shield of faith. This word faith means a belief, a persuasion, a firm belief. To lift up the shield of faith is to lift up your beliefs, to lift up your firm beliefs, to lift up your persuasions. When you're taking up the shield of faith, you're taking up your beliefs. You're taking up your persuasions. You're taking up your firm beliefs. We're going to see an example of what that looks like here in Daniel chapter 3. Here, you know the story. You've got three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're in a foreign land, and they're underneath an evil king. And this king, Nebuchadnezzar, he makes a law in the land that says when the music plays, everyone is to start worshiping this false god. And so you know the story. They strike up the music, and everyone begins to worship this false god besides these three Hebrew children. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refuse to compromise. They refuse to allow the compromise of others to make them compromise. And they stand straight up. Everyone can see it. And these men decide this is their opportunity to take them out. And so they go to King Nebuchadnezzar and they tell him when the music played, there were three men who didn't bow down. He asks who they are, and they tell him, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king demands that they come and see him. Here they are standing before the king. And he tells them, verse 15, let's see it here. Watch what he tells them. He said, now if you be ready, he's going to give him a second turn, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, hard word, psalm tree, another hard word, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God who shall deliver you from my hands? Here we see these individuals, they are under attack. And they're facing a very serious attack. The king is telling them, if you don't bow down and worship this false god when this music plays, I'm going to throw you into a burning fiery furnace. No ifs, ands, or buts. You're going to do this when this music plays. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they hear this. Now, once again, faith cannot stop trials from coming. In this world, you will have tribulation. But faith can stop the tribulation from having any harm in your life. In this moment, we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do something. They're about to lift up this shield of faith. They answer the king and says, O king, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. Basically, we're not going to be timid about this. And they say, if you decide to throw us in, our God will deliver us. Our God will save us out of your hands. And if you decide to not throw us in, we're still not bowing down to this graven image. What did they do in this moment? They've got a belief in their heart. But that belief didn't just stay in their heart. That belief also went in their what? In their mouth. They said their belief. They said their persuasion. They said their firm belief, which was, if you throw us in this fire, our God will deliver us. Our God will save us. When the king hears this, he gets furious. He gets mad. He tells his best men, come and bind them up. Not only bind them up, but heat up the furnace seven times hotter. So they bind them up and they're getting ready to throw them in. You know what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are thinking right at this moment. Okay, God, anytime you want to come down and do something, you know, any minute now, God, it'd be great. And you know it would have been real good for them if the Bible story would have read. And at that moment, God dealt with the king's heart. And the king decided, there's no need for you guys to go in the fire. I made a big mistake. The light bulbs come on and there's no need for you guys to be thrown in. That would have been real good at the moment for them, but it wouldn't have made near as good a Sunday school story for all of our children in preschool nursery. Now, they got thrown in the fire. The king took them, and the fire had so much power. The fire had so much heat that for the men who threw them in the fire, that fire was so hot, it caught them on fire, and they died. So we're not talking about a little bonfire here. We're talking about two men not even in the fire, dying from the fire. It's so hot. And in faith, I want to emphasize this, in faith, the children of Israel were thrown in the fire. Their faith did not stop them from going into the fiery furnace. You hear people talk about faith like it makes you immune from problems. No, friend, your life will have tribulation. They got thrown in the fire in faith. But something happened. In the middle of this fire, in the middle of these believers being in faith, Nebuchadnezzar comes up real close. And he asks a question. Watch what he asks here in verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and arose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. I told second service, when you got a king who's crazy like this throwing people who disagree with him in fires, the answer to every question is true, O king. Yes, sir, you hit the nail right on the head. True, O king. Verse 25, and he answered and said, wait a minute though. I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. Here's the phrase I want to get at. And they have no what? Hurt. Their faith couldn't stop them from going in the fire. But one thing their faith sure enough did, it made the fire have no hurt. No harm in their life. Well, why is that? And the form of the fourth is likened unto the what? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the who? And in the power of whose might? His might. Well, how do we get that might? How do we get his power? You got to put on the whole armor of God, especially the what? The shield of faith. And when you lift up that shield of faith, what happens? When you lift up your persuasions, when you lift up your beliefs, when you lift up your firm persuasions, it allows no attack from the enemy to have any harm in your life. The children of Israel were saved from the fire hurting them because a fourth man showed up in that fire. How did he get there? He got there because they decided to lift up their beliefs. To lift up their persuasions in the middle of a time where the whole nation was compromising to the will of an unjust person. They stepped up with their faith and said, we will not compromise. We believe our God is able to sustain us and he will keep this fire from hurting us. He will deliver us out of its midst. They lifted up that shield of faith and that shield of faith did what it always does. It quenched that fire. Friend, I'm telling you, you got to make a decision to lift up that shield of faith. What is the shield of faith? It's my beliefs. It's my convictions. It's my firm belief. I said this last week. I went through a time in my life when I first started pastoring where I was under attack from all sides. Remember, I told the story last week how I knew I had to deal with the fear that that attack was causing before I could deal with the actual attack. And I tried to cast the care. And finally, I realized and came across that teaching from the minister I named and found out that fear is eradicated by knowledge. That I needed to know something. So you know what I did? I went back to all the prophecies that had been spoken concerning my life. I went back and I got Brother Dean. Brother Dean is known for his confession list. He's teaching in healing school now. He's got loads of confession lists. He's got one for church growth. And I went and said, I need that list. And I got that list and went around my house as much as I could, quoting those scriptures, building those beliefs in my heart and getting those beliefs in my mouth. And friend, I'm telling you, not only did it stop the attack, but here we are today driving, seeing God's hand in our life. It stopped that attack from having any harm in this ministry. Didn't stop us. It hindered us for a season, but it didn't stop us. We're stronger than ever before. The shield of faith quenches all. If you lift it up, if you take it up, you have to make a decision to do it. How does it start? First, you find scripture. Finally, my brethren, first, I'm in closing. Find scriptures that support your case. What scriptures are you standing on? Find scriptures that support your case. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Secondly, after you get those scriptures, act on them. Get them in your life. Get them in your mouth. If you're sick in your body and you come across a scripture, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And you decide that's the one you're going to act on. You come and get a believer or a pastor or someone to lay hands on you. You believe at that moment, whether you see it or not, whether you feel it or not, the healing power of God was administered to you. That a healing power is working, a healing and a cure in your body. Well, I don't see anything different. Doesn't matter what you see. I don't feel any different. Doesn't matter what you feel. You lift up that shield of faith against those feelings. You walk by faith and not by sight. Then you put a bouncer at the door of your mind. Every mind needs a bouncer at the door. And any thought that is contrary to the scripture you're standing on, you make it bow its knee to that thought, to that scripture, and kick it out of your life. Meaning, if you're standing on that scripture, when hands were laid on me, the healing of power of God went in my body. It's working a healing and a cure. Every thought that says anything different, you answer it with the word of God and say, no, the healing power of God went in my body. It's working a healing and a cure. The Bible says when they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Let God be true and everything else be a lie. You make every one of those thoughts bow its knee to the scripture you're standing on. You can do this with any other subject too. It all starts with that scripture though. Every thought that is contrary to that scripture, you answer it with that scripture. I'll give you a story, the last one. I came across this a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, you know, if I preach on this, I definitely want to use this story. It's in a book by Joel Osteen, the other Joel. He's pastor some church out there in Texas. It's not near as good looking as your Joel. But anyway, he wrote this book a long time ago. I called Your Best Life Now. And I was just skimming through it, like I said, a couple of weeks ago. And I thought, this is a perfect example of the shield of faith. He talks about the story of his mother, Dodie Osteen, who in 1981 was diagnosed with cancer. And this was not just, you know, run-of-the-mill cancer. This was cancer that was spreading throughout her body. She went to the doctors. The doctors said, you got weeks to live. Not months, not years, weeks. And they reached that place where the doctors had done all that they could do to treat her. And finally, they just basically sent her home because there was nothing else they could do. And these were people who believed in healing and believed in God's power in that arena of life. And so they went and they prayed and asked God to heal her. But they didn't stop there. And he's relaying all this in this story. They didn't stop there. She made a decision. Now, when you're under attack, no one else can put on the armor of God for you. When you are under attack, you must put it on. When you are under attack, you must lift up the shield of faith. We can't pitch this off to a pastor. We can't pitch this off to a prayer chain. We can't pitch this off to a wife. If your business is under attack, businessmen, you must put on the armor of God. If your body is under attack, you must put on the armor of God. If your family's under attack, you must put on the armor of God. You do it. It wasn't enough for people to pray for Miss Doty. Miss Doty had to put on the armor of God. And she was talking, or he was talking about what he saw his mother do. He said, "We prayed for her, and my mother never gave up. She refused to speak words of defeat." What would that be doing? Lifting down the shield. She refused to speak words of defeat. She didn't complain about how sick or how weak she felt or how awful her life was or how hopeless her situation looked. She chose to put God's word in her mind and in her mouth. She started speaking faith-filled words. She started calling in health and calling in healing. All during the day, we'd hear her going through the house speaking aloud. "I will live and not die. I will declare the works of the Lord." She was like a walking Bible. What is she doing? She's standing strong in the Lord and the power of His might. How? She's lifting up that shield of faith. I'd say, "Mother, how are you doing?" She'd say, "Joel, I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might." She pored over a Bible and found about 30 or 40 favorite passages of Scripture concerning healing. She wrote them down, and every day she'd read them over and over again and boldly declare them aloud. We'd see her walking up and down the driveway saying, "With long life He satisfies me and shows me His salvation." Mother mixed her words with God's words, and something powerful began to happen. Her circumstances began to change, not overnight, but little by little, she began to get better. I read that story, and first service, a lady came up to me after. She said, "I was just in Lakewood," that's the church that Joel Osteen pastors, 2 weeks ago. And she said, "I saw Miss Doty here 30 years later, or 31 years later, get up and say, 'I'm not dead, I'm still here.' The power of God healed her. The life of God was in her," getting up and giving her testimony. She wrote a book called Healed of Cancer. We give it out to whoever wants it. If you want a copy, we'll give you one. Why? We want you to get your shield of faith up. When your shield of faith is up, I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what you're going through. When your shield of faith is up, when you're strong in the Lord and the power of His might, it will stop every attack of the enemy from hurting or harming you. It will stop every one of those attacks right in their tracks. And you know what I've seen? Not only in my life, but in Scripture. You know what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego after that test? The Bible says, and the king promoted them to the highest spots in all the land. You know what happened to David when he lifted up his shield of faith against Goliath? He got promoted to the highest parts in all the land. Friend, I'm telling you, God rewards those in faith. Well, that's Scripture, isn't it? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for we must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Friends, I want to encourage you, get your shield of faith up. When you do, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Every